Notice Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. It's in the middle of your bulletin. If you want to go to the Bible, you can as well. It says in verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called.'" Now I want you to notice this next verse. It says, "Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." I want you to notice something about Abraham's faith. Abraham had a faith in a God who had power to raise from the dead. He had what I like to call resurrection faith. He believed that God was so powerful that he could even raise his only son Isaac from the dead if he killed him. That he could raise someone from the dead in performance of the salvation plan that God had in store. You see, Abraham understood that God was in the resurrection business, and that he could and would raise his son from the dead if he sacrificed him. But you see, Abraham also knew something else. He knew that God was going to provide another lamb. He knew that God was going to provide a lamb. Somewhere in his mind, he understood that God's plan and promises involved his son Isaac. And so either he was going to be raised from the dead after he sacrificed his son, or God would provide a lamb, another lamb. And we understand from the story in Genesis 22 that that's exactly what God did. Not only there in a literal sense, the lamb that was in the thicket that God provided, and they sacrificed that day instead of Isaac, but like it says in Hebrews, in a figurative sense, that God was going to not only provide that day, but someday he was going to provide a lamb that would sacrifice his life for the sins of the world, that would provide an eternal salvation for mankind. And that's what we see here. We get two perspectives when we look at Genesis in Hebrews. We see the perspective from Abraham and Isaac right there at that very day. And then we get some insight into what was going on in their minds, and not only in their minds, but in their hearts, from the author of Hebrews. Ultimately, we know that is the Lord. And so the Lord himself tells us from the book of Hebrews a little bit about what was going on in the heart and mind of Abraham. And you know what it resulted in? A faith in God. A faith in God's plan of salvation. A faith that he would provide a lamb that would sacrifice for his sins. A faith that no matter what, he knew that God was in the resurrection business. And we understand that Jesus rose from the dead because God has power to raise from the dead. And that Jesus is God. And because he has that power, because of the power that he has, we can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Abraham had power in a God who could raise from the dead, so we should also. Because now we can look back and see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can see that, yes, he does have that power. He has demonstrated that power. And we understand that he is a magnificent God. And he has provided a lamb. Abraham also believed that God would supply a lamb. God provided a lamb. So I want us to look at, I just want us to, this Easter Sunday, I want us to look at Jesus for a few moments. And I want us to see what the lamb did. And I want us to see how it looks like in the promise plan of God. You know, God's promise plan is demonstrated in the life of Christ. And so this Easter Sunday, I want us to look at how that came to fruition, how Jesus worked all that out. First of all, I want you to understand God's promise plan was predicted by the Lamb. God's promise plan was predicted by the Lamb. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, we see a marvelous prediction. It says, Jesus said, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise." You see, he was predicting that. The next chapter in verse 9, in verse 31, he does it again. He says, "For he taught his disciples and said to them, 'The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day.' But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him." Now, it's amazing to me that Jesus was able to predict what would happen to him, how he would die, and how long he would be buried, and then do exactly what he said he would do in rising again. These verses make it clear that Jesus was trying to tell the disciples what was to come in order to establish his kingdom. You see, this had to happen in order for God's promise plan to be executed. There was no plan B with God. There was no plan B. This is the plan, and this is the only plan. It had to be Christ sacrificing his life in order for our sins to be forgiven. This was the way that the justice of God could be satisfied. It was the only way. That's why we believe in the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, because there is no other way. It is the way that God wanted. Yet now that this prediction had come to pass, the disciples, they didn't understand it. It was only after they had seen Jesus with their own eyes that they believed. So these guys were kind of clueless. They were dumbfounded by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To say that they planned out some kind of scheme to make us think that Jesus died, but he didn't really die, and that he just faked his death, and that's how they were able to stage a resurrection. That's not the case. These guys were clueless. They had no idea. Even though Jesus had told them what was going to happen, they didn't understand it. And so that right there should be a faith builder to us, to understand that Jesus is so powerful that he was able to predict his death, burial, and resurrection, and that he is so powerful that he was able to perform it as well. The great power, this is powerful knowledge. This is great for us that we are able to understand this. Jesus can keep his word, and he will keep his promises to us. That's what this says to us. So everything that Jesus said to us in the Gospels, we can know he will perform it. If he was able to promise and predict his death, burial, and resurrection and perform it perfectly, Can't he perform those other things that he has said? Like he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he will love you. That he will guide you. That he will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to you. That you would no longer be under condemnation if you would trust in him. Those promises are as sure to us as the actual death, burial, and resurrection. Now, God's promised plan involved the Lamb dying for our sacrifice. This is true. He actually died. He had to die in order for us to have our sins forgiven. When Joseph of Arimathea requested the body of Jesus, Pilate was surprised that Jesus was already dead. So he asked the centurion if he had been dead for some time. Pilate wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead. There would be serious consequences if he wasn't dead. There would be serious political repercussions. So Pilate had to make sure that Jesus was really dead. So Pilate asked the centurion, and the centurion made sure. Now, this centurion was probably the one in charge of the crucifixion of Jesus. He probably witnessed the soldier that pierced the side of Jesus and the water and blood came out of his body. Surely he was dead. There was no life left in him. The body of Jesus Christ was dead. He was definitely dead, and he died for a reason. He died for our sins. As we read in Hebrews 9:28, it was his one-time sacrifice that made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. We are sanctified by the death of Jesus Christ. We are saved by his death. This shows how far Jesus will go to help us. This shows how far Jesus will go to help us. Do you believe that Jesus wants to help you in your situation? The situation you're in right now? You know, the things that you're going through? Well, he showed that he was willing to die to solve your biggest problem. You realize your biggest problem was sin. Sin is all of our biggest problem. Every one of us are sinners. And we all have that problem. That is our biggest problem. Sin. Sin is our biggest problem. So Jesus showed what he was willing to do to solve our biggest problem. So what do you think he's willing to do to solve your smaller problems? I believe he's willing to help you. He's willing to help you through all your difficulties. I know some of you have gone through a lot of difficulties. I want you to know Jesus wants to help you. He is a problem solver. He is a Savior who solves problems. And he solved the problem of death through his resurrection. That's what he did. But not only was Jesus died, but God's promised plan involved a time when he was laid in the grave. When the Lamb was in the grave. You see, we know from other passages that Pilate commanded guards to oversee the burial of Jesus. They saw him wrapped in the linen and laid in the tomb. Then they rolled a huge stone in front of the opening of the tomb, so big that it was a stone that the Marys wondered if they would, who would move the stone for them so that they could see the body of Jesus and anoint it. So Pilate also commanded, upon request of the Pharisees, that the tomb be guarded so no one would be able to steal the body of Jesus and make a false claim of a resurrection. So the Pharisees understood what Jesus had predicted. They knew that he said he would raise on the third day. And so they were doing everything they could to make sure that didn't happen. But no one could keep Jesus in the grave. No one, even as powerful as Pilate, could keep him in the grave. No stone could keep him from coming out of that tomb. He is all powerful, and he could get out of anything, no matter what they did. But the wonderful thing about how it happened was that it gives us faith in who Jesus is. All of the way that it was orchestrated, all the things that surrounded the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ only strengthen our faith. And that's what we need to see here. Not once did Jesus flinch as they wrapped him in the linen. He was definitely dead. No one would steal the body of Jesus because of the huge stone and the guards in front of the tomb. But on the third day, Jesus left that grave. The Lamb left the grave. And so we should believe. We should believe, and we should understand that now that same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the power that lies within us. The power of his resurrection is available to us. We can live in resurrection power if we have faith in a resurrecting God. Do you have faith in a resurrecting God? Do you, like Abraham, know that God can raise you from the dead? That is actually his plan? That he will raise you just like he rose from the dead? The key to living a sacrificial Christian life is one where selfishness and sins are put aside, is trusting in the power of the resurrection. When you believe in a God who has the power to resurrect, then you will have the grace you need to overcome sin in your life. And then finally, God's promised plan involved the Lamb being resurrected. Jesus appeared in his glorified body to over 500 people at several different times and places. Now, that's a lot of witnesses. How many witnesses do you need to believe that something is true? We can trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. We can have faith in God's promises, just like Abraham had faith in the promises of God, because we, unlike Abraham, have seen those promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so wonderful. We can have great faith in the Lord because of what Jesus has done in fulfilling the promises. Over and over again, you see the phrase, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. What does that mean? So that the promise plan of God might be fulfilled. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He fulfilled the promise plan of God. That plan involved his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I am so grateful for Jesus Christ. I hope you are. I hope you understand that he is a powerful God and a powerful Savior. And like we read in 1 Corinthians during communion this morning, because of his power and his resurrection, we are united with him and we also will be resurrected. We also will rise and be united with Jesus Christ when he comes again.